Punk. This is another episode of 314 Punk. Hope you guys are doing well. This is with Young Animals. Make sure to check them out. They're playing coming up here at the Heavy Anchor with previous guest Fight Back Mountain. That is July 31st. So make sure to check that out. July 31st at the Heavy Anchor, Fight Back Mountain, Young Animals. Follow them at, I believe it's Young Animals Band on Instagram. They're pretty active. They post quite a bit. They're playing quite a bit out right now, and just really cool people. Really enjoy their music, so give them a listen on Spotify as well. So, and they are also playing a show with yours truly, Wes Hoffman and friends, and Goaltender on October 9th at the Heavy Anchor as well. So make sure to check that out. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that, and I'll be sharing stuff about it coming up here soon as well. So that's pretty much everything I got. Hope you guys are doing well. Like I said, thanks for all your support. People are telling me that they love this podcast, and as long as you love it and you're listening, I'll keep doing it. Much love. All right, what's up, everybody? This is another episode of 314 Punk. I'm here with Quinn and Joe from Young Animals. How are you guys?
Doing good, yeah.
Doing well, yeah.
Awesome, yeah. And so, Quinn, you're a guitarist, right?
Yes.
And yeah. Joe, you're the drummer?
Yes, I am.
Okay, awesome. You have a lovely beard, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is a little over a year old now.
Nice, nice. I used to actually have a really long, healthy, full beard like that, and probably was going on about a year and a half, too. It was about that long. Yours is a little bit longer, but...
Yeah. I try to maintain it as much as I can, keep it in braids and like just keep it out of the way, especially during the summer. It just, you know, causes so much sweat.
Like, yeah,
I never thought that my chin could get so hot, you know?
No, I'm totally right there with you, man. It's a lot of, people don't realize it's a lot of maintenance going on with the beard types to keep it looking good, you know? So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Young Animals, I really, since I started doing this 314 Punk thing, you guys, I had heard your name around for a little while, and I guess I had heard a couple songs, and I was like, oh, these guys are kind of cool, but I just kind of threw it in the back of my, I wasn't super into, like, the, you know, music scene in St. Louis at the time, and when I started doing this again, you guys were one of the first names that kind of came up as a up-and-coming band. And really, like, I really dig your music a lot. I think it's really unique. You've got kind of that Midwest emo with, like, the technical, you know, part of it. Not just, like, you've got the math rocky part of it, but, like, also you've got the melody and, like, pop sensibilities, too. You know, so would you say that's fairly accurate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's all thanks to this guy right here. I mean, he's the one that I give credit to all the insane melodies and all the goofy time signatures that we do. It's very fun.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun with it. I don't know what I do. I just kind of do it. So it just happens. I'm not a trained guitarist. I just kind of picked it up. So I'm just kind of go with the flow with that stuff. So
yeah,
I think that qualifies as a prodigy.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
So tell me, how did Young Animals start?
Oh boy.
Not with me, that's for sure.
Yeah, Joe just joined. We actually played our second show with him just the other day.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Okay. So but he's been a friend of ours for a while. Basically it came out of a band I had in high school. It was called the Neighborhood Watch.
Okay.
And that band kind of folded because our bassist lived in San Diego and we just like never played any shows anymore. And so I was going out to San Francisco to get my bachelor's degree, and I just didn't want to stop playing music. And I hit up Nathan, our other guitarist, who I've been in metal bands with him in high school. That didn't really work out. And then I hit up a couple other people in bass that didn't work out, but that's kind of how it started. And Craigslist kind of helped form the band.
Oh,
more.
That's cool.
Yeah, usually that doesn't happen. But we reached out to Olivia first. She was like the third vocalist we reached out to. I knew we'd before we played like instrumental stuff, and I knew we really wanted a vocalist just to kind of round things out. We reached out to her, that worked out, and then Tommy, the Craigslist king, he like buys and trades and sells on Craigslist.
Oh, okay.
And that's what happened. And then Joe, we've been friends with him since high school. He went to high school with Nathan, and he joined recently. So that's just kind of how it all came together.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So when you going into it, did you have this style of music pinpointed and think, okay, we're going to do a math rocky Midwest emo type thing? Or did it just happen organically?
We knew we wanted to do that. So the Neighborhood Watch was like a weird math rocky kind of band.
Okay.
And Nathan and I were really into Tiny Moving Parts at that point.
Oh yeah, love Tiny Moving Parts.
They're great. And so we knew we wanted to kind of go in that direction, along with like American Football.
Love American Football. Yeah. Grew up listening to that first LP that I think it came out in 1999.
Yeah, it was great.
I was in high school when that came out, and little side note, not to distract you, but this is kind of how this podcast goes.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fine.
A friend of mine, they were in this band, Kick in Emergency. It was called Kick in Emergency, and they were like a punk rock band, but they would have little American football-y parts in some of their songs, like little breakdowns. And I was like,
cool.
I had never really heard that before in like punk band. And I was like, where do you guys get that influence from? And they were like, well, Jimmy Eat World kind of did that a little bit.
Oh,
and
then,
but they weren't as punk. They were kind of more of an emo, you know. But
yeah.
He was like, in American Football, that's, you know, we like those kind of riffs. And I remember getting that CD of that first. I've listened to that through probably hundreds of times.
Yeah,
I love
great.
That first. Yeah. The newer ones are good too, the original is classic, you know.
There's something about the original that's just, yeah, that's just... It's a good album.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you were into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And we just kind of worked it out. And while I was in San Francisco, I was like, I wrote our, I guess, album. And we'd come back. Every time I'd come back, we'd like kind of jam on it and then go back and forth. And yeah, that's just kind of how it happened.
Awesome.
I feel like there were a couple times, I mean, I know I saw Young Animals at least once before I became the drummer, and you guys didn't have a vocalist yet.
Yeah.
It was just an instrumental group.
Yeah, it was before Olivia was in the band. We came out with like a 3-song EP at Bird Cloud.
Okay.
Ryan Wasaba's great. I knew we needed a vocalist. We were just kind of, wanted to put something out there. And that helped us get Olivia, because we were able to be like, this is what we wrote, and
awesome. So where did that kind of come from? You've touched on it a little bit, Joe, that, you know, Quinn, you're pretty amazing at like writing these parts, and I feel like, you know, I'm just a straight punk rock player, so like, you know, I wouldn't know where to start with like the kind of music that you guys play, like how do you hey, this part's kind of cool. And does Joe take over and like he's like, oh well, that's a weird ass like 7-8 time signature or something, you know, like, or do you guys work together on that, or how does it kind of come together for you guys?
Usually I'll come up with some part either in practice or beforehand, and I'll bring it into our practice space, and then we just kind of jam on it and figure it out from there. Other times I'll have like half a song or 3/4 of a song written, and then we'll just figure out from there. So it just kind of depends. I feel like it happens organically a lot.
That's
of the
awesome.
Time.
Yeah.
Sorry, something's coming up here on my computer.
That's all good.
So what were some of okay, so I'm kind of asking the same questions to people on this podcast. And it's okay if it's not like a punk rock band, but like, what was your first like entry point into like the first band that you heard that really like kind of blew your mind, like, oh wow, I want to be a musician, I want to be in a band?
Ooh boy. There's this game called Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
yes I just got the remastered one on my Nintendo Switch. I've been playing the hell out of it.
Oh, I would credit the soundtrack to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater with my introduction to punk rock. That and my older brother Jack. He's been big in the local punk scene for a big long time, and he took me to my first punk show when I was maybe 12 or 13, and it was a Casualties show at
okay.
what was
okay.
the...
That's a good first show.
Might have been the Firebird time, might have been the Bluebird time. I can't remember. That venue went through a few different name changes in a very short span of time. But yeah, I went to that show, and like from then on, I was just really into the hardcore punk. Now I joined my brother's hardcore punk band after that, and then just ever since then, it's been music.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is a really good first show to go to as a casualty show, I can imagine.
It was very fun. Quite a few ceiling tiles were ripped down, a couple light fixtures. The first show, fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
For me, it's hard to pinpoint. I know I liked The Killers a lot.
Okay.
I was really into the Madden 04 soundtrack with Blink on it. That was okay. Really great. But it was really like this local band called Adelaide that I was super into.
Ooh, I'm trying to think if I know anybody from that band. So but yeah, that's a like good
Josh, call. Josh Collins. Like I knew him. Okay. We were in Boy Scouts together, and like so he would always like try to get people to come to his shows.
Yeah,
like, just like they're fantastic, and they were also like mathy. So it was just like it was cool to be like, yeah, I kind of want to do stuff like that, and that's just kind of how it went.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely remember Adelaide. I remember that name, and I'm trying to think if I've seen them before. I can definitely. Do you remember STL Punk?
Oh yeah.
I remember. I can see Adelaide like in the STL Punk font, like in my mind right now.
Yeah.
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 God.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love that Tony Hawk Pro Skater call out because I feel like so many people got. Into punk rock from that, mm-hmm. You know, yeah. or I discovered so many bands from that. And, you know, yeah. Some of the songs you're like, oh, I'm not really into this one, but some of you are like, oh man, this song, like, I need to buy this band's album, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I mean, I was afraid to say it for the longest time. It's like, oh, am I gonna lose my punk cred because I got into punk because I heard The Casualties on Tony Hawk's Underground 2 or whatever? And no, it doesn't matter. As long as you got into it because you really enjoyed it, that's really all that matters.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Doesn't matter where you heard it.
I completely agree, and everybody's. I want to keep asking that question to people because like everyone's story is going to be a little bit different. You know, like there two of the guys have already answered that Green Day was like their number one, but like I grew up with Green Day, but I like the album that hit it for me was Dookie, and the album for them was American Idiot. So it's like. It's two, it's maybe two sides of the same coin. I don't know if that's the right analogy, yeah. But like, yeah, similar, yeah. Same band, different era, mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's awesome. Like,
yeah, no, like I remember being shown Green Day by my friend Nick back in like grade school. I remember he showed me American Idiot, and I was like, this kind of sounds familiar. And then I brought it up to my dad when I got home. It was like, have you heard this band Green Day? He's like, yeah, I showed you Green Day like a couple years ago. And I was like, oh, that's why this guy sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
That's why I recognize the sound so well. But like, I definitely wasn't as into American Idiot as I was into anything else I'd heard before that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you, wait, say that one more time.
I wasn't as into American Idiot as I was into the Dookie.
Older stuff. Yeah, okay,
I
liked the older stuff better. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely got, you know, I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast. Like, you know, as bands like Green Day get bigger and bigger, the music changes a little bit. They have a little bit more of a budget. Like, you know, Dookie was like their breakout album. And then like, you know, American Idiot, it's like, it's a fucking musical. Like, you know what I mean? So it's going to be a little bit different. But I totally, going back to what you were saying about Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I don't think I'm under the same mindset. Like, it doesn't matter where you got into it or how, like, I think that it's just, it reached you somehow. You know what I mean? And that's the important part.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you guys have coming up? I know you have a show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this will be out by then, but it's July 31st at the Heavy Anchor with
Fight Back Mountain.
Yes. Yeah. That's Adrian April. Barnello you had on previously.
Yeah. Adrian's
I listened to that
friend,
earlier today.
Same.
What'd you think?
It was good. Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I like Adrian. I know him pretty well. Not pretty well. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but you know, used to hang out with him in the punk scene.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's awesome. That's good to know.
After that, I don't remember. I think we got another show. Is it another in October or something?
That's with me.
So.
Yeah. So yeah, October 9th at the Heavy Anchor.
That's
with
right.
Yours truly and Goaltender. I don't know if you guys heard of Goaltender.
Yeah, actually. Got a couple of friends in that band. shoot, Aaron Buchanan, who just joined.
Okay, yeah, I know Aaron.
And the bassist, I can't remember. I haven't seen him in a while. It's coming back.
Okay.
But we've played with them a few different times. They were in Old State.
Yeah, I remember Old State. Yeah,
so we played with them a couple times. I know Aaron used to have his like crazy basement show, holiday show.
I went to a show there, yeah.
Yeah, I played once. I think it was like the last Neighborhood Watch show ever, so.
Okay. Dude, that was such a cool... I went to... What do they call that place? The Demogorgon or something like that?
No, that was another local band.
Basement. The basement was called something, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying there was another local band that called like their practice space.
Oh, okay, okay.
I don't remember, but it was an interesting space. It was just like out in like Fenton or something. It's like this little basement that had like a crazy show every year for the holidays. So
I'm not sure if this was the same place or not. I think it was the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
One. It was out in Fenton.
Yeah.
Because I remember being like, so I used to do this podcast called The Strange House. And like we work with publicists and stuff like that. And they would send us requests for, you know, we would send them requests and bands we wanted to talk to. And every once in a while they'd say, hey, will you interview this up and coming band or, you know. And we, you know, it's like you do it kind of, okay, hey, you guys have helped us out a lot. We'll help you out a lot. We don't know this band, but, you know, it's all about like just helping each other out. And so there's this band, I can't even remember their name right now. Letters to Part. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're from Florida, or one of the guys was from Florida anyway. They kind of had this Further Seems Forever feel. They were emo, but they had a really big sound. They were kind of jam bandy. It kind of just sounded like a wall of sound. It was cool. And they were like, okay, here's the address of the show. And I remember just kind of, I love these little like kind of punk rock adventures where you like, I don't really know where I'm going or what I'm about to get into, but we're going to go. And, you know, it's some neighborhood out in Fenton. And I used to work out in Fenton, but I never have been out in like the neighborhood parts of it. And, you know, I've just been to like the place where I worked and like wherever to get lunch, you know, like, and I remember rolling up and there were just cars lined along the street and there were a ton of people there. And it was an awesome show. It was a great show. I think Old State played. I didn't stay the whole time, but I love that kind of stuff.
It's great. There's like I've seen a lot of those, especially on like tour and stuff. There's like a place in Connecticut that's like behind, it's like an old washing place or like washing machine kind of
like back. A laundromat.
A warehouse. And like you'd have to go, like it was so weird, you couldn't even park at the place. You had to park like a few houses down in this like weird little parking lot, and then you'd go all the way back, and then there's like this little spot, and they had like a bunch of like crazy shows there. And then there's a place in Wichita, Kirby's Beer Store.
Okay, I've heard of this.
Oh, man.
I've never been there, but I've heard of it.
It's like the tiniest little like bar and the tiniest little stage, and they host like amazing shows.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the whole place is like, the whole lot is like filled with cars and stuff. And yeah, we've played there like twice and been fantastic.
With Young Animals?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So you guys have done a little bit of touring?
Yeah, we've toured three times. One was South by Southwest.
Oh, okay, sweet.
So,
what was that official?
It was cool. I had the flu during the time, that really sucked. But so I was in like the back seat, quarantined with a mask on.
Aww.
But hey, nobody else got sick because of that mask.
Nobody
right?
got sick. Masks work. So
you're stuck in a car.
Yeah. But that trip was awesome and terrible at the same time. We like didn't have any place to stay, so we slept in the van most of the time, and with Tommy's snoring.
Oh jeez,
it was really bad.
Oh my god, I only recently experienced Tommy's snoring with our most recent gig.
We were outside,
dude.
Too.
He had he had the audacity to bring a hammock.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? I saw some pictures from the show. What was the show? It looks like some kind of outdoor festival, or
it was,
like
it was my friend's. I've been friends with him forever. Like bachelor party.
Okay.
And like he loves camping, so we were outside in this property, like of a friend's like families, right? And he wanted to have us play, and so we played along with Biff Gnarly.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I recently have discovered Biff Gnarly. I really like them a lot.
Yeah, yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're awesome.
His brother's also in
my,
the band.
My older brother is the bassist for Biff Gnarly. He just joined about a year ago, I want to say.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was cool. We played in a barn, kind of like the old like Barn Fest almost, but like it was like much bigger than the barn at Barn Fest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, there was the second Barn Fest. That barn was pretty big, but we weren't able to go in that barn.
Yeah.
No, we only played around the side of it. This barn was actually, like, habitable. Like, you could hang out inside of it, and then, like, there was enough, like, power going to it, and, like, mm-hmm. we could set up all the equipment. That was a great show in the barn. The only thing I would have changed would have been how level the floor was.
Yeah, you know? it was like this.
It was a bunch of rocks and gravel. So like I got my drum set up on this carpet and my pedals are like wobbling back and forth into the side and my throne is toppling over every time I'm trying to move.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, it was chaos. It was pure bliss and chaos.
It was a lot of fun, yeah. And then, like Tommy, like I said, he's Craigslist king. He like owns all these like lights. He's like traded with a bunch of people on Craigslist to get all these lights.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And then fog machines.
Yeah, he had fog machines, lights. And then
they have a fog machine in this room over here.
Oh, really?
Pfister plays over there. I don't know if like slower stoner. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a few bands over there, but I saw that they had a fog machine. They pulled a bunch of my equipment out.
They're pretty cool. Tommy uses it in practice every once in a while.
Yeah, he'll. He'll use those fancy fog machines. He's got like a few of them that just have like the lights built into them and that do like crazy different patterns and stuff. A couple different laser machines. Mm-hmm. He's got some real fun lights over there.
Yeah, and then our friend Tony, he works for like Lindenwood, and so he like was able to bring all this like super great like audio equipment to just like nowhere, you know, like in the middle of nowhere. So like
that mixing board blew my mind.
It was huge mixing. We're like playing. Yeah. You know, in the middle of nowhere, and you could hear it like where our tent was, because like we'd set up, we were like kind of waiting, and Biff was doing sound check, and we could hear him. It was like
we're at the farthest end of the property that the tents could be.
You like, could hear them perfectly. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
But an absolute blast like the other days.
That's awesome. That's really, really fun.
I heard that the only noise complaints that we got from any of the neighbors was that they just didn't want any cursing in the microphones.
Yeah.
So like, that's cool. Like, that means everybody around here is enjoying it. They just don't want to hear just straight up cursing, which, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, cool. I can understand that. You know, like, hey, as long as you're cool with the noise, we won't cuss.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, like, do you guys, because I'm just always interested, like, do you have, like, a goal with your band? Like, are you trying to play a certain amount of shows? Are you trying to tour? Mm-hmm. Are you just doing it because you want to do it? Like, you know, what's kind of your mentality with this project?
There's no wrong answers either.
Okay, hey, I can...
I don't know. I think.
Can you hand me that Raphael Ninja Turtle? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like such a. I don't have ADD or anything like that. You know, I'm just like. I'm a fidgeter, so I like
that. That's fine.
I have ADHD. My knee's been bouncing this whole time. Hope that hasn't had any effect on the.
No, you're good.
So I think first and foremost, it's just about like having fun with like our buds and stuff.
Absolutely.
I think that's like the most important thing. We definitely like want a tour. We want to release music. That's like a big thing. And we want to play shows. That's always been a thing. It's obviously COVID. We weren't able to play any shows, and probably this upcoming year we'll play like less shows than we had before. Just because like I'm in my thesis year for my master's.
Okay.
So I probably can't play as many shows as possible.
So what are you studying?
Fine arts. So I'm a painter. I'm a mixed media artist.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
A
man of many talents.
I don't have like any big goals. It'd be great to be signed, great to go on tour
sure,
all the time.
Sure.
But I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket. So sure. I just kind of want to have fun.
Are you guys, what's, you mind if I ask, like, what age group, how old are you guys?
So we're, you, me, and Nathan are the same age. We're all 27.
Yes.
Okay.
Olivia's 28, and Tommy's 30, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. That's our age group.
Yeah. No, I think that's, like, when I was, like, around that, I'm 38, so, like, when I was around that age, like I had totally stopped playing music because I just went into this like, mentality of like, well, I'm an adult now. I have a full-time job. Like, I need to focus on that. And now I'm back into it, and I kind of have like the mentality that you guys are have with it is like, I don't want to, like, why should I stop?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of being an adult is such like a societal construct anyway.
Yeah,
you know, it's I'm almost in the same situation. I joined this band after not playing out in the scene for like maybe 5-6 years. So like going back into the scene, it was like as soon as I played our first show, I was like, yeah, I'm glad to be back in the scene. Like,
absolutely,
this is 100% what I want to be doing.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and like when I was applying to schools for my master's degree, there was like I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm in a band. They're like, oh, I guess you'll have to give that up, right? And I'm like. No, like, why would I have to give that up?
Yeah, like, it's like I in many things in life, like I am kind of all or nothing with a lot of stuff, but I'm kind of at this point, I'm like, I have a full-time job, but I can also play music as much and try to actually do something with it, you know, like I'm at the point where I'm like, I just want to see how far I can take it, you know what I mean? Yeah. If I can take it to the next step, the guy that I just had on, Brandon Juan, from Candyline, he was talking about that, and he and I are the same age, and it's like, you know, if you are cool with just like staying at one level and playing locally and doing that, like, then that's like, or if you're cool with just like where your band is at and you are just enjoying that, like, that's totally fine. If you want to try to take it to the next level, like, you can do that too. He kind of compared it to like your job, you know, like if you like your job, like, there's nothing wrong with staying in that job until you get sick of it, you know, or until you can retire. If any of us are going to be able to retire
until you're in the ground, right?
Until you can't work anymore. But if you want to progress, like, that's totally fine too. And you know, I think that's I'm just kind of in that mentality with where you're at, Joe. Is like when I started playing shows again, I was like, why did I ever stop? I'm actually really disappointed in myself when I think about it. I'm like, why did I ever stop, you know?
Yeah. There were a couple of factors that went into me stopping. Mainly just the last band that I was in before Young Animals was Smooth Talking Perverts.
Okay.
And that was just me and my two brothers. Just the three of us.
Okay.
And your dad occasionally.
My dad would hop in occasionally because he... My dad was also big in the local music scene. He's a part of the Dogtown Horns.
Okay.
Played with Mama's Pride. He actually sat in with Ringo Starr's All Star Band.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's got quite the catalog beneath him. But yeah, he's been on stage for Smooth Talking Perverts songs a couple times. He's in a couple of our recordings just with him and the horn group. But
that's cool.
But yeah, being in a band with my brothers, it was great. I really enjoyed the camaraderie that I get with my brothers and how close that we are. Like, I know a lot of people with siblings, and you know, they're always butting heads. And I mean, not to say that we're not always butting heads, but to be in a band together and to be able to like put up with each other that much, I really enjoyed and really value cooperation that I was able to get with my brothers.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can totally see that where, you know, when you're family, I can see you kind of like, I can see where it could be a different dynamic when playing with your family members, you know?
Very different. I mean, I was approached about joining the band by the oldest brother, Graham, and it was really a lot of his creation. He wrote a lot of the music and pretty much all the lyrics. So like, he basically just told me where he wanted the snare going. And I was able to do free reign with what I wanted there. And that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Real good.
Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, I have two sisters and we used to do some music stuff whenever we were younger, but it's hard for me to imagine having either of them in the band with me. Not, I love my sisters, you know, but they're both actually really great singers, and my mom's a pianist too, so that's how I kind of got into music. Was my mom taught us all piano when growing up. Yeah. So, yeah. But what are some of you guys's? You know, I know you have been playing for a while in different bands and stuff like that. Do you have any cool, fun stories about different shows that you've played that kind of stick out in your mind? As far as I mean, you mentioned a few like Kirby's Beer Store already, but any cool, memorable stories or venues that stick out in your mind that you love to play?
I once played, technically played It's kind of a fun story behind it. There was like this Jeep enthusiast event at this place called Crystal City Caverns.
Okay. Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like an old salt mine, and at this point, it was kind of flooded with water. So like there was only a portion of the cave that was accessible, but like there were still Jeeps driving in and through it, and like all around the place, and like on these off-road trails. And there was even like a carved out bar set up inside this place was like just conveniently at the level that it was like not flooding at. So like we had like another section of the cave right next to the bar set up for the bands to put up all their stuff, and it was kind of close to the water, but like not super close. And this isn't like a water damage story, so don't worry about that. I set up the set, and we were able to do our sound check, and it sounded great. This whole cave system actually had some like really decent acoustics for like what it was and like for the sound system that was there. And there was like a good amount of people out in front of us, and I can't remember if we actually played our whole set or if we had just done the sound check, but I remember right after I had gotten out from the drums, I went to go get something to eat from a food truck outside, and I heard somebody talking about, yeah, the show's canceled because the owner of the property doesn't like the volume of the music, and he doesn't like the genre of everything that's going on. It's like, what? And like we all went to talk to this guy, and he was kind of a country fella.
Okay.
So
he
was not into the music that was being played and shut down the music promptly, although the Jeep event continued.
Wow.
But that was it was still one of the coolest places that I've ever set up my set and like gotten to play in technically.
Yeah. What band was that with?
Oh, man. That was with Smooth Talking Perverts.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Smooth Talking Perverts.
I love that name, by the way.
That was... yeah, it's a good name. Just don't look too far into it.
Okay.
They used to have, like, EDM, like, shows there. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
I've heard about that place through other people that you know, are into that scene.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I think something horrible may have happened during one of those EDM shows.
Yeah, probably. There's a few things being passed around in a lot of those shows. So, gosh, for me, I can't think of like a specific venue, but should I tell the Texas Tom story, the big Texas Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're on tour, and we're in the van, we're getting gas, and we had just come from New Orleans, and we're going all the way to Austin, which is a pretty long drive. And we stop, first gas station in Texas, we go inside, you know, get snacks, we're getting gas and everything. And Tommy comes out with a cowboy hat. And it's just like this really crappy, like, American flag.
The kind you'd find at a gas station.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and yeah. He was so stoked about this hat. And he, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like, it's Texas Tom. And we're like, to Nathan. And Nathan's like giggling, all right. And so Tommy has this weird, like, cigarette bong thing that he has.
Oh, a cigarette?
Yeah.
Okay. It's
kind of gross, but
it's more like a steamroller than a bong. He doesn't put water in it, but he basically just takes a plastic bottle to smoke a cigarette. He burns a hole in the plastic bottle, puts a cigarette in it, and like he makes a carb on the bottle and just sort of smokes it like that.
And is it like less tar? Or
it's a conversation starter.
I would probably say it's more tar.
it's a conversation starter. Yeah, he tells us.
Yeah, it's a huge conversation starter. But so he's off in the corner. He's got his hat. He's got his like cigarette device. And Nathan goes to join him, and all of a sudden I see like Nathan running back towards the car, and he goes, "No, it's Big Texas Tom." And I just like, I lost it. I hadn't laughed that hard like it ever. We have like one of our like music video things. It's like Olivia was able to capture me laughing for like 2 minutes straight or something. It was like I was like crying. It was so bad. But that's like the story that's like really cemented.
You've got a golden laugh.
Yeah. When I laugh really hard, I can't stop.
Oh, dude, I love that. There's nothing better than like me and my best friend when we just have band practice and stuff like that. Like, there's nothing better than just like, that's something that I've always loved about being in bands. It sounds like you guys have this dynamic too. It was like, there's always, you know, you're going to have those big belly laughs like almost mm-hmm. every practice, where your like stomach hurts and your face hurts from like smiling and laughing so much. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, usually like, you know, it's band practice. You maybe have a couple beers, maybe smoke a little bit, and it's like, okay, we're having a good time. Like, this is fun. Like, there's nothing better than like getting to that point where you laugh and you like almost can't breathe because you're like laughing so hard.
Oh yeah. Oh god. That happens quite often at practice, actually. Yeah.
We like to have fun in practice for sure.
Well, so tell me a little bit about, like, you guys are pretty, I mean, your band is pretty technical. I was talking about this on the podcast as well, like, to play a lot of stuff that you play clean channel-y and also mm-hmm. on the drums and stuff like that, you have to be very precise, and I would think that it would take, like, you know, it's different than punk rock where, like, if I'm playing and I screw up a little bit, like, you know, there's enough distortion there to mm-hmm. kind of, like, cover up my mistake a little bit. Like, do you guys, are you pretty intense practicers, I mean individually, of your own instruments? Or
yes, but I would also say that it's not too different from punk rock, where if we mess up, people can't really tell, because, like, you know, we do a lot of mathy stuff that throws people off. So if there's something there that doesn't sound like it's supposed to be there, you know, okay. you just do it again the second time around, and people think, oh, that's on purpose.
Have you heard this? If you make a mistake once, it's a mistake. If you make it twice, it's jazz.
You're just saying that.
My jazz teacher taught me that.
My dad taught me that, being a saxophone player. And I think he learned that from his dad, who played clarinet. So it's like, yeah, just musicians passing on knowledge, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
I think it also helps with like the tuning that we play. So we don't play in standard. We play in like, it's like the twinkly.
An emo. Open tuning?
Yeah. It's so it's like a D-A-E-A C-sharp E. And so.
Like dad. Oh, kind of like.
Almost dad-gad. Okay. Almost, but not quite.
More like daddy.
Daddy. Oh man.
I don't know why that, I don't know why that tickled me a little bit.
But so like if we mess up and we just strum, it's in the key, so it doesn't I guess it's kind of a cop out, but it happens. So I'm like,
I mean, there have definitely been a few times, I mean, during the live shows recently where we've played, that I just missed the cymbal, and it's like, well, I hit the tom instead, so I'll hit the tom again second time around. Like, and I'm just going to keep, I keep the song going. I don't change too much of it, but anytime I have done something by accident, it's just, well, that's part of the song now.
Yeah, at least for this set.
I've always, when I played in bands growing up, like I always, and I saw somebody post something recently about this on Facebook, I thought it was a really good take on it. It's like, I was always really worried about like messing up on stage, you know, mm-hmm. and I practice, I mean, I practice all my songs, and as a band, like, you know, leading up to a show, like we practice quite a bit. We want to sound really tight. And like, I've always been freaked out about like, you know, somebody that I'm going to screw up, or, you know, we do a lot of stuff where like the bass player carries the chord progression, and like if he doesn't change to the right chord, like everything, you know, if he doesn't change to the right note, it's not going to sound the way that the song is supposed to sound, you know, so maybe he'll forget. And like, I just always get freaked out about that kind of stuff. But most people at the show, like, they're never going to know that you messed something up, you know what I mean? Like, and you're just going, no one is going to play, I mean, unless you're like, you're not gonna play it perfect every time. You know what I mean? And you're gonna fuck up once in a while. And like, to just the guy on Facebook was saying, like, it's inevitable, somebody's gonna mess up. Just don't draw too much of attention to it, and no one's gonna know. You know, like if you get on the mic afterwards and be like, "Hey, sorry, I fucked that one up," like then it's like everybody's gonna know, like
No, that was one of my biggest worries going into playing the live shows with Young Animals, just because I'm the new drummer. The drummer before me was very technical, very good. I would say he was a much better drummer than I am. But learning the stuff that they had recorded was a challenge for me, and just trying to learn to play it live, it's like, okay, I could do exactly what was recorded and, you know, stick to the guns of what's done, or I can make certain things different, not take anything away from the song, but, you know, maybe not use double bass through the whole song.
Sure. Adding your own flair and style to it. Yeah.
Making it a bit more funky as opposed to metal.
Yeah. And like, we don't even play like the exact same thing that we have recorded live all the time. Like, there's like little flares or like harmonics or like you know, just like little things that we play sometimes that aren't technically in in there. We just, I don't know, we just have fun with it. So it doesn't matter if you're playing the same thing.
No, yeah. So I mean, as a drummer, I hate playing the same thing twice. So
yeah,
it's fun to be able to play with Young Animals and do all these different things within with the same songs.
Yeah, and I've always enjoyed that a little bit. It's like when one of my favorite bands is, they're called Iron Sheik. They're like kind of a punk band and kind of an indie punk band. And I saw them that every time they've come to St. Louis for some reason, I have missed it. And I went up to Chicago and saw them in like 2017. And I just knew that they're the type of band. They have this one guitar player that played in this band Ladderman like early 2000s. And I just knew these guys are going to sound so cool live, because I guarantee you they're going to throw extra guitar shit in there. Like, and he did. And it's, that's something that I've always really loved about bands is like, okay, I love the recording, but it's going to be really cool to hear them play this live. I bet it's going to sound heavier, a little bit faster, a little bit more. They're going to jump around a little bit. You know, maybe they're going to improv a little bit and throw an extra riff that's not in there, because they get tired of playing the same song. You know, if you're touring for months on end, like, you're going to get tired. Hey, well, I know this is the part that's on the recording, but oh, I should have put... this is a better riff for it, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was always thinking about that with Smooth Talking Perverts. When I recorded with them, I was like, I pretty much stuck to very basic things. And when we play live, I just feng shui anything that I can into the middle of what was done there. And it was all, it was always a very different experience live than it was in the recording.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. I love that. So what are some, so two things. You guys have shows coming up. You have a couple EPs on Spotify and streaming services, right? Any plans coming up for like recording or anything like that?
So right now I would say we're kind of in like the writing process. We do have a new song written. We were thinking, but just because I'm going back, school starts like next month, at the end of next month, right?
So you're going back to San Francisco?
No. I'm at WashU right now.
Okay. Okay.
So like, yeah. Me and my fiance were like settled down. We have a house. We bought a house and everything. So we're like, we're in St. Louis now. So, but yeah, I'm at WashU, and so we won't be able to do as much. I'm not sure how the writing process will go. So we just have that one song. So maybe we'll do a single. We've kind of talked about it, but not really. So we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, it's up in the air.
Yeah, but other than that, I would like to do like another EP or full length. We'll just kind of find out how that happens, because we just released something not too long ago, an EP.
Yeah, I love that one song. I think it's called Dibs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just lets up.
Yeah, I love
that.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. I love that.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a really, and I love that you kind of have that, like, you know, you have the math rocky and the technical parts in it, but you have stuff like that that's just really fun. I'm like, this is probably a really fun song live.
Oh yeah, that's a very fun one to play and very fun. It gets the crowd moving.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. What are some other bands in St. Louis that you guys are really like hyped on right now?
Oh boy, Junior Clooney.
Okay. Oh yeah. Oh man, those guys are insane.
Junior Clooney's just amazing.
Biff Gnarly and the Reptilians, since we just played with them, but they're fantastic. They really are.
Absolutely.
Direct Measure.
Okay. Yeah, they just put out a video and a new single. Yeah,
they did.
It was really good.
Oh, they're fucking fantastic.
Really into that.
Yeah.
Reaver's really good too.
Okay. Yeah, very different music than Young Animals.
Yeah, we play with like a bunch of little different genres all the time.
Yeah,
it's like mixed shows are great because you get a bunch of different things going on.
I love that. I love that. And I was like, when I was younger, I was in a band called The Citation, and we were kind of like a pop punk indie pop band, kind of like the Get Up Kids or like a little bit of the Fall Out Boy sound, Jimmy Eat World kind of, but maybe a little heavier, and like. We get asked, like, metalcore was on the rise back. This was like when Under Oath was like really getting really big, and that whole like screamo metalcore type thing was happening. And we would always get asked to play with bands like that, or we'd get put on like metal shows or hardcore shows. And it was really cool because like sometimes we'd walk in being like, okay, we're the melodic band here. Like, we don't know how people are going to perceive this, but like, usually people would be like, that was really fun. You know, we had breakdowns in our songs and stuff. We had like moshy parts sometimes, and we jumped around a lot, and people were usually really receptive to that.
Yeah. I mentioned Kirby's before. So on one of our other tours, we actually got double booked at Kirby's. So there's a before show and an after show. We were the before show. And after that, it was just like a death metal bands. It was just like very heavy. And all of them were like, whoa, this is awesome. Like, yeah. They were like super stoked about it. And it's just like, it's just really cool. I don't know. Like, yeah.
Well, the cool thing about about metal too is like, I mean, your music is very intricate and like technical, but metal is too. It's just, you know, it might be a guy screaming and it might be like super heavy, but like there's a band on the other side of this wall that practices called Storm Ruler, and they're like a speed metal, like thrash metal band, and when I'm hearing them practice, I'm just like, I don't even know what you guys are doing. Like, I don't even know how to make those sounds. You know what I mean? I wouldn't even know how to. So it's like, I respect all, you know, I respect that. So even though that's not the kind of music that I play, totally respect it, appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, yeah, it's very cool having different genres involved. Yeah, when I was, when Smooth Talking Perverts got their first show, it was a 105.7 sponsored show with Middle Class Rut. And I think that might have been the best match for our sound that we ever had as far as like playing shows, because like everything other than that was like a local band here in St. Louis, and that was either a hardcore punk act, a metal act, sometimes a ska band or a reggae band, but I mean, Smooth Talking Perverts was this weird, funky alternative, not really fitting into a certain genre sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it was weird finding shows for that genre. So every show that we ever played in Sweet Talking Perverts was kind of a genre branching thing, and that was always very fun, like seeing all the different bands we were playing with.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really cool. I've always mainly done punk, so I'm always usually, you know, like aside from that period of time where we would get put on metal shows and stuff, like you know, I feel like there's always, if you have a band that's just a little bit like, hey, we're a little bit left of center, you know, left of the dial, like as they say, you know, like this is gonna be a little bit different. It's like usually people are kind of like, okay, I mean, you know, you go to a hardcore show and you're expecting hardcore, and then you hear somebody playing something kind of different, you're like, oh, this is just mixing it up a little bit, and it's kind of nice, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Being in the hardcore punk band was much easier as far as like the lineups went.
yeah, and it's like then all those bands kind of, you know, gravitate towards each other and play with each other, and like, and that's cool too. It's just, it's nice to kind of be, mix it up a little bit for sure. So, well, you guys, this has been, it's been great to get to know you guys. I'm so stoked to play with you guys on October 9th. I'm going to be out of town on the 31st. So I won't be able to make it to your show, but I am planning on, like, I'm going to message Adrian from Fight Back, and I'm going to buy a ticket or two, and if you guys have any people that want to come, like, I'll happily sponsor that ticket, you know.
That'd be great, yeah.
If anybody wants to come, or you want to give one away or something like that, like, you know, because I'm trying to, I feel like that's something that, part of, a big reason why I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a minute before we shut this down.
Go for it.
I feel like the reason why I wanted to do this 314 punk thing was just to help promote music in St. Louis, especially punk rock, math rock, emo, hardcore metal, and I feel like we need to do a better job of just getting people out there and supporting music. It's just, you know, like showing your support. Like, we can't do this if people aren't going to show up to shows. We have to promote our bands, of course. We have to promote our shows. We have to reach out to our friends and let them know what we're doing, but like, we also just need to get people out to the shows.
Yeah, you know? So now more than ever after the pandemic and everything.
Yeah, well, they're eager to, and it, you know, that helps.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, so have you guys, I know you did the, like, CD release for Luxora, is that?
That
was sweet. How was that? Did it seem like people were ready to
get
out?
There was a ton of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Way more people than I was ready for.
Yeah. That venue's great, by the way.
Oh, Red Flags, Red Flags phenomenal.
Very cool.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, there was a ton of people there. The response was great. I have nothing but great things to say about that place and that show. So
I think they could use a little bit more of that stage for backlining equipment, but other than that, I think the place was great.
Yeah,
I've been to two shows there, and I loved it. I thought it was great. Like, The first one was a little bit more like, I don't know where they're at with COVID guidelines right now, but like, you know, the first couple that I went to, like, you had to be at a table mm-hmm. with your, and you couldn't take your mask. This was like before vaccinations were even really like, had really hit here. Cause you know, I have my vaccination now. But like, it was kind of prior to all that, like of that, of the vaccinations being available. So they were still being very cautious about it, but you could, you had to wear your mask at the table. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, if you had to get up and go to the bathroom, you had to wear your mask, mm-hmm. but you could take it off at the table. And then, you know, so it was still a little bit like, you know, pretty.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, you know, this whole pandemic thing will. It's just because there's vaccinations doesn't mean the pandemic has gone away. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So, but I'm hoping it's gonna get better. But
yeah, I keep that fang on me still.
Yeah, mask. I do too. Yeah, I have one in my car. But I loved Red Flag. I thought it was great, and I'm really excited. You know, to play there eventually and mm-hmm. just to go see more shows there for sure. So,
oh, yeah, same. Definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to play with you guys. I can't wait to. Same here. Part of the reason why I asked you guys to play is I wanted to see you play.
Absolutely.
So, I'm really, really excited about it. That's on October 9th at the Heavy Anchor with Young Animals goaltender and Wes Hoffman and friends. So,
hey.
thank you guys so much, Joe. It's great to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Glenn, great to meet you too.
Great to meet you too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where can people find you online?
Oh, so Facebook, Young Animals, I think Bandcamp, Young Animals STL or whatever. Same with Instagram. We don't have a Twitter. We don't have a TikTok.
I got Twitter.
Yeah.
I got a TikTok. Jerk Water
I do
Joe.
Have a TikTok. And
check me out on Twitch.
And I think any streaming service, if you look up, I'm pretty sure we're on everything.
Yeah.
So.
And I've shared, and I will again when this comes out, I've shared some of your songs on the 314 Punk Instagram and stuff like that. So I'll make sure to share it out so people can find you quickly and easily. And, you know, just tap that button and it goes straight to your song. It's pretty nifty. So
yeah.
It's greatly appreciated. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome.
All right, much love, guys. Thank you.